It's funny, I travel a lot and don't read a lot of books, and I'm joined by somebody who reads a lot and doesn't do a lot of travel, and we're both enthusiasts about the world, and armchair travel is the specialty of Nancy Pearl. I guess if America has what you might call a rock star librarian, it's Nancy. She's written the very, very popular Book Lust series. It's sold over 200,000 copies. She's a regular commentator on NPR's Morning Edition. She's got master's degrees in library science and history, and her new book is Book Lust to Go, all about travel books. Nancy, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me on the show.
Isn't that interesting that you're just so enthusiastic about travel books and they're kind of a blessing because you don't have to get on an airplane?
I travel a lot for work. So, you know, I've been to places like Auckland and Tallinn, Estonia, and all around Estonia. Actually, it was a wonderful trip, but it's always been for work.
Yeah.
And so pleasure travel has always been found within the pages of a book.
So talk about traveling without leaving home via wonderful books.
It's the best way to do it. I did a program at the Mid-Manhattan Library in New York a few weeks ago, and at the end of the program, where I talked about not being a traveler and yet feeling that I'm very qualified to write a book called Book Lust to Go because of all the books I've read, a man in the front row said, "I thought you'd bring slides to show all the places." And I said, "Oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry, but I've never been to any of these places."
You know, it just occurred to me, I had a similar experience with Al Stewart, you know, the guy that, You're the Cat, you know, the pop singer.
Yes.
And I had dinner with him, and I've just loved his books because he's this traveling historian and everything, and I listen to his lyrics, and I love his lyrics, and I can picture him in the market in Marrakesh writing these things down. So I got together and asked him, "So what was it like? How did he write?" And he says, "I've never traveled to any of these places. I just read books." He loves books, and he travels.
Yes. I think that reading about different countries. I'm a librarian, and one of the questions we always got was, "I'm going to Venice. What can I read? I don't really want a travel guide necessarily. I have that. But what can I read that will give me a sense of the there-ness of the place?" I mean, how can you go to Venice and not read the Donna Leon mysteries?
Huh.
And so, I mean, they're fabulous. That's how I first learned what Prosecco was, because the main character, Guido Brunetti, he drinks Prosecco, he drinks grappa. There's even a new book out of his recipes. And I thought, I don't know if I'll ever go to Venice, but I've been there.
You've been there, yeah. Well, I mean, somebody could say, "I'm not going to Venice. What book should I read?"
Yes,
also,
absolutely.
And
absolutely.
You can be there. Well, for me, the planning stage of a trip, because I'm all about practical travel tips for people who are actually going to go through all the headaches
yes.
of going there, the practical part of it, or the planning part of it, can sort of be an extension of the travel experience. You're sort of psychologically and mentally there. You're getting background material, so when you do get there, it's much more vivid and
right.
magic. And these are the kind of people you and librarians all over the country are helping out
right.
when we give that little insight.
Yes. But see, it's all that traveling, that getting ready beforehand, just what you were talking about, that you find is an extension of the travel. It's that makes me, as soon as you started talking, my stomach got nervous.
Yeah.
I thought, I can't,
So maybe if you do that preparation thing well enough, you don't have to do the trip.
I know, right.
And that's where Nancy Pearl comes in with her Book Lust to Go. Nancy, can a book give you culture shock?
Yes. There's a new book about North Korea by a woman named Barbara Demick called No Ordinary Lives. I think that's what it's called. And she talks about life in North Korea. She interviewed five people who had escaped from North Korea over the Tumen River and come to China, and she interviewed them in China. And they talked about what life was like in North Korea. I mean, that was the most kind of radical kind of culture shock.
So you were caught up in that hellish kind of situation.
Yes, yes.
Just by reading the book. Thankfully, you didn't have to go there to learn that.
Yeah, and most of us will never get to go to
right.
North Korea. But
yeah.
Gus Lee wrote a wonderful mystery set in North Korea. I mean, there's just so much that's...
Well, there's a society that's essentially closed to tourists, but it's worth traveling to via books.
Yes.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves, and we're enjoying armchair travel with the queen of armchair travel, and that would be the librarian Nancy Pearl. And Nancy's new book is called Book Lust to Go. I mean, you've written several book lust
right.
books, and this one is featuring travel books. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. Gail's on the phone in Albany, Oregon. Hey, Gail, thanks for your call.
Thank you for taking my call. Yes, I'm excited to get a chance to talk to Nancy, as We rushed out and got her book because that's exactly what I'm always looking for, is some good recommendations of books to read before I travel or after I travel someplace. And I don't want a travel log. I don't want a guidebook. I want a good fiction book that brings a place to life. And so we have been using your book now to find some books for our next trip.
Where are you going?
Our next trip will be back to Brazil, where my son lives, and so I'm looking for some ideas. Some areas you don't have covered as well as,
right.
as others, yeah.
Right. There's a page count limit and a word count limit.
Oh, okay.
And also, but you know what book I would recommend about South America is a book called The Saddest Pleasure by Moritz Thomson. Thomsen, and he's mentioned that book is in Booklust to Go.
Okay.
And he joined the first class of Peace Corps volunteers, but he was older than the others. He was in his late 30s. When he left the Peace Corps, he bought a farm in Ecuador, and then as he got older, his health got not quite as good as it was, and so he gave up his farm, and he took one last trip around South America. And the title, The Saddest Pleasure, comes from something that Graham Greene, no slouch at travel himself, once wrote, which is that travel is the saddest pleasure. And I would love to interview Rick to see what he thinks of that sentence.
Travel is the saddest pleasure, because Thomas Jefferson wrote, travel makes a person wiser if less happy.
Yeah. Oh.
And I think there's a lot to that, and we could do a whole interview on that.
Yes.
Yeah, interesting.
All right.
Yeah, so I'm just sort of encouraging you to keep reading and helping the rest of us find those books that bring a place alive. I did send in two ideas that I've read. One is The Colony of Unrequited Love, I think.
Yes.
Wayne Johnston. Did you see that one?
I included that one in Booklust. Or more Booklust, in one of the earlier books. And actually, when I was writing Booklust to Go, I decided, because I could have written this book just taking armchair travel and history and things like that from the earlier books, but I didn't think that would be fair. So I did not repeat myself. But The Colony of Unrequited Love is a fabulous book about Newfoundland.
Yeah, and the other one is called Easter Island, a novel, which has a modern-day researcher and somebody from, 100 years ago, and they go back and forth between the two, and that's another really good book that I liked a lot.
All right. Hey, Gail in Albany, Oregon, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gail.
And happy armchair travel.
All right. Bye-bye.
I was going to ask you about that, Nancy. Of course, you wrote Booklust and then more Booklust, right? And
right.
You probably just accidentally had a lot of travel books that made the cut for that. And then you had to decide those would be probably the books that came to mind first as the best travel books.
Yes.
So would you actually do Booklust to Go without those ones that made the first
cut?
Yes,
that was the hardest part. And the most interesting part, Booklust and more Booklust were books that pretty much I had read and loved. Mm. I like to joke and say 3,000 of my all-time favorite books, but they really are. But for Booklust to Go, I spent a lot of time wandering through libraries and bookstores, read travel essays, read histories. I wanted accessible books, whether or not the places were common armchair travel places. Like somebody said, why did you do Albania? Who would go to Albania for a trip? And I said, well, I had to do Albania. One of my all-time favorite books is The Unexpected Mrs. Polifax. And she volunteers to be a spy. And by accident, she is sent to Albania or taken to Albania.
Well, that's a beautiful thing about this list. It doesn't matter what the visa requirements are,
that's
how
right.
far you have to travel there. It's all accessible.
It is.
Within the 268 pages that your publisher gave you for this project.
The 65,000 words, for better or worse, there they are.
Well, sometimes less is more, I guess, in book publishing, so you had to limit it to that. You know, it occurs to me as a traveler and a citizen of this country that fear is in a lot of people's minds lately. There's a lot of fear rattling around in our society. I really feel like fear is for people who don't get out very much. And one reason I'm trying to inspire people to travel is because I think you realize, hey, the flip side of fear is understanding.
Mm-hmm.
If all you do is, watch hysterical, if it bleeds, it leads news, it's a scary world.
Right.
How does reading work into
I think reading is exactly the same. I'm struck by that similarity because I think it's through reading that you understand a larger portion of the world than where you are. And the more you read, the more eyes you see through, the more experiences that you share with other people. Exactly like travel. it's because of that armchair travel, that novels set in different places, that we're seeing so many mysteries being translated now coming from other countries. I think they bring you the same overcoming of yourself. In fact, there's a travel writer named Michael Musha whose new book is called Between Terror and Tourism. Isn't
wow.
that great? It's a collection of his experiences.
What's the author and the name of the book?
The author is Michael Musha, M-E-W-S-H-A-W.
Uh-huh.
And the book is called Between Terror and Tourism.
Wow, that sounds fascinating.
It is. It is. And he gets himself into some very hot spots.
Yeah. So reading doesn't replace the experience. It can augment the experience or give you experiences you couldn't have otherwise. When it comes to writing travel, you can have just your basic travel log. You could have something with a great plot. And there's that whole value and dimension of creating a wonderful sense of place.
Yeah. The books that I chose, especially the fiction that I chose, is all books that have that there-ness, that when you read those books, you feel like you know what that place is. Hong Kong is a common place that I understand because of the books that I've read. You know, the handover from the British back to the Chinese, what that period was like.
How it felt.
How it felt. Vietnam, another.
Oh, can you imagine?
Yes.
The sense of, more than the sense of place, the sense of time in place or something
yes.
like that.
Yeah. And I was struck when I was writing the book by how, whatever book I read, it was almost as though, and decided or not, to, or decided not to include it in the book. Really, geography is political. And when I call a section in Booklust to go Burma, I'm making a political statement. And that's something that I kind of knew, that geography is political. But it didn't come home to me until I started reading all the books that I would then include in the Spain section. It's very hard to find a book about Spain written since 1936 that does not refer in some way to the scars of the Spanish Civil War.
Right.
And with Chile, there's a wonderful book by Sarah Wheeler called Travels in a Thin Country. And that is the one book about Chile that I've read ever that doesn't talk about Pinochet.
You know, I could see you hanging out in some sort of evening social scene with a bunch of really experienced world travelers, and nobody would even know that you got all your travel through books.
Now,
right. A minute ago, you said when you chose to use the word Burma, it
yes.
was a political statement.
Right.
Of course, instead of Myanmar, which might
right.
be more politically correct.
Yes.
Why? What statement were you making?
I was making a statement, well, because it's a military junta who's running Myanmar. So I think that is...
So it's more in solidarity with the people to say Burma?
I think for me, it's both in solidarity with the authors whose books I'm talking about
okay.
and recommending. There's a wonderful writer named Emma Larkin who wrote Going After George Orwell in Burma, which is both a biography of the country and a biography of the writer, which is just wonderful.
Our guest right now on Travel with Rick Steves is Nancy Pearl. She's a librarian at large with the King County Library System in Seattle, and you've probably followed her recommendations on other public radio shows over the years. Her latest book is called Booklust to Go, recommended reading for travelers, vagabonds, and dreamers. Nancy, when you're talking about a sense of place and how critical that is really for the best travel experience from a book, do you find that's easier to get in a fiction book or a nonfiction book?
I think that almost entirely depends on the writer. I think that there's some wonderful nonfiction where you feel as though you're there. I think Paul Theroux's The Great Railway Bazaar was one of those books, The Old Patagonian Express. The book of his, though, that gave me the best sense of Africa, I think, is called Dark Star Safari, where he goes back to Africa, where he had been in the Peace Corps and then taught at the University of Uganda. And
I just talked to him about that
book.
Oh,
you did?
And it was fascinating. And he made such a strong point. You don't fly from capital to capital. You got to go overland
yes.
and cross the borders
yes.
and get out into the bush.
Yes.
And he was traveling like some backpacking student all across Africa.
And he went there for his 60th birthday, so
yeah.
he was not a kid.
Now, that is cool.
Yes. And that book is so, it's just so beautifully written. I kept writing down, I included several quotes from it because I couldn't
Dark Star Safari.
Dark Star Safari.
Nancy, I was just thinking, we always talk about sense of place, but you've also got sense of time. And you've got contemporary writers like Paul Theroux, and then we've got writers from centuries past that take us to a place and to a time.
Yes.
Who does that well?
Ibn Battuta, or Battuta,
right.
I think does that. And there's a wonderful book in Booklust to Go. It's called Travels with a Tangerine, because he was from Tangiers. And he followed the first half of Ibn Battuta's travels.
Somebody took me to his home. There's a tiny little mosque and museum for him in Tangier.
Yes. Oh, really?
Just last year. And it was a big deal for that Arab part of the world,
yes,
or Islam. And
yes,
I hadn't heard of this man.
Oh,
very.
See,
I need to be exposed. I need to do a little traveling.
I need to do some reader's advisory work with you.
Okay. We'll have to meet about that. Now, you say in your book, you say reading saved your life. How so? It's about your childhood.
Yeah. Right? I grew up in a family that was not a particularly safe place to be for me. And so I spent all my time at my branch library in Detroit, Michigan. And it was those librarians who really were my first travel guides, who opened up the world for me, who showed me what was available outside my very narrow world.
Isn't that beautiful? Don't you ever wonder how gratified they would be to see what you're doing now with your work?
That's one of the things that I most wish, is that they would know that and would know how grateful I am to them.
Whether it's a piano teacher or a history teacher or a Sunday school teacher or a librarian, people
right.
plant these little seeds, rescue kids from difficult home lives.
Yes.
And then for the rest of their lives, they're benefiting from that.
Yes.
I'm speaking with Nancy Pearl. Her new book is Booklust to Go. You know, I may have a well-worn passport cluttered with all sorts of smudgy stamps, but I think you've likely traveled as much as anyone I know. This has been quite an inspirational talk. Take me to a favorite place that you feel like you've been to, but it was only with the help of a book.
Chile. Sarah Wheeler's Travels in a Thin Country. Because she is such an adventurous traveler, and that because she stays at youth hostels, and if somebody says, oh, let's go off into the interior, she'll go with them. And because she goes from north to south, and she's a fabulous writer. And her book about Chile, her book about Antarctica, and her forthcoming book about the Arctic are just all wonderful.
Nancy Pearl, Booklust to Go. Thank you for all the travel tips.
Thank you.
They call me a dreamer. Well, maybe I am. But I know that I'm burning to see those faraway places where the strange sound of names calling, calling.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced by Tim Tatton with Sarah McCormick at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington. Thanks for technical help today to our colleagues at KUOW Seattle and BBC in London. Our theme music is by Jerry Frank. We've arranged many of the interviews from past editions of the show by the countries we discuss. They're available as podcasts and apps that you can download to your portable player or smartphone. Look for the Rick Steves Audio Europe links on the front page of our website at ricksteves.com. And join us again next week for more Travel with Rick Steves.